Hey guys, welcome back to the Law of Attraction Secrets podcast. I'm your host, Natasha Graziano, and today we have traveled all the way to Miami, to the fucking Porsche Tower. I love it here. And we are here with an amazing human. He is a living legend. He has sold over 100 million albums, 54 billion streams. I mean, that fucking number is almost like, what? Isn't that insane? He has done so many tracks that you know, as in music is his middle name. He is super well known, he's super famous, and he may have just dated Kim Kardashian and Paris Hilton. Aren't they friends? This shit is crazy. I'm so excited to bring in today and be at his home with his cars parked in his fucking living room. I mean, this is like Messi's old apartment, actually his old apartment, and we're sitting on his old sofa. Anyway, welcome to the show, Scott Storch.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm chilling.
Do you like your intro?
That was pretty big. That was profound.
No, but that was like, you know, that's like an average Monday. Is it Monday?
It is.
My friends, it's fucking Monday. This is so good. Okay, so look, you've achieved so much. And I love to go in deep and work out like where it began. Like, did you wake up one day and go, I am going to make music? Or were you just gifted?
I basically like found myself as like a 10-year-old kid, like listening to like the Ramones or something with a tennis racket in my hand in the mirror, pretending to play, because I knew that like, I don't know, musicians and singers and rock stars like get pussy. I don't know. So I was, and then I found a passion for it, and I started like, my parents had like a piano. It was an upright piano, but it had like three broken keys, and I would just start like teaching myself how to play my favorite songs. And I had like a little, at the time we had cassette tape. Mm-hmm. So I had this little cassette recorder I put on the piano bench, and I would like imitate the sounds. I didn't have money, my parents didn't have money. They sent me to like two piano lessons, and then it was like, I couldn't either get there or we didn't have the money for it. So I just taught myself how to play. I got to the point where my parents were like, yo, we're sick of hearing you play, like go play with the other kids. I'm like, nah. And then by the time I was 15, I moved in with my dad. And as soon as I did that, because my parents had divorced, he moved to Philly. And Philly is a music town. And like, it's like some legendary shit. Like, there's a couple places in America that music is just like a thing. Like New York, LA, Nashville, you know, Atlanta, and Philly is like one of them, like serious one. And I didn't want to go to school, so I didn't go to school. And I was like cutting and going to, I was taking a train into the city, and I was like just finding like cool people on South Street, which is like a hip spot where you go. And I connected with Questlove, and like we started The Roots. It was like me, him, Black Thought, and this guy, Hub.
Oh yeah, I missed that out, your bio. Fuck, you were in The Roots.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that.
Yeah, I'm
that's
a founding
such...
member. You see that plaque over there?
Mm-hmm.
That's for the Grammy I won for them. It's called You Got Me with Erykah Badu.
Wow.
But like, so I was in The Roots in a band. We used to play on the street. We would borrow power from like stores on South Street, and like we would like just play, and then we did a block party like near Temple University in the hood, and somebody discovered us, and we got a record deal, and now I'm like almost pushing 17, mm-hmm. and I'm in a band, I'm like learning the band thing, so experiencing that first, and then segueing into being a producer, I think it has its advantages, and especially playing alongside of Questlove, and learning the way watching him play drums, and then I'm like programming shit, like that perspective like made me dangerous. So I left The Roots. You know who Pete Best is?
Mm-mm.
Pete Best is the guy that left the Beatles.
Oh.
And like I had a girlfriend at the time, and she broke up with me because I quit. She was like, you're gonna be the Pete Best of the fucking Roots. And I had to quit The Roots. Like I loved them, and like I'm such a harmonious person, but like I wanted to stay in the studio and create new music instead of being on the road and promoting it. But then one night we was in New York at this club called The Wetlands doing like a like open mic thing together. And one of them dudes like said some foul shit to me, like, cause I'm not a racist person. He's like, something turn up the treble on the keyboards. We got the white devil. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, I was hurt. So I left and I got a studio in Philly, and it was above where the Roots would record. And when they were in their next album after I left, they wanted a song. They couldn't find a hit. I'm like, oh, well, the White Devil is not in there anymore. I'm like, whatever the fuck. So make a long story short, I'm working with this girl who was working at Urban Outfitters at the time. And she was like a singer that never was in the studio. And we wrote a song called You Got Me, and that was Jill Scott.
Whoa, yeah. That's a wild thing. Yeah. So you just plucked her.
Yeah, and along with that, like, there was a couple people I put in the studio first. Beanie Siegel was one of them, and he ended up with Hov. But, and Eve, like Eve was like, I was in the studio with her, and she's also from Philly. But like, they told us, when Quest was like, asked for the song, I was like, bro, this is for Jill. And he was like, nah, we need this. And Jill was like, cool. I was like, as long as she stays on it. At the last second, literally, I hadn't even heard it. The song came out and had Erykah Badu on it, which is cool because it made it such a big hit.
So insane.
But, you know, I made sure that the world knew that Jill was the writer, and it blossomed her career. And I've done that a few times. Like, if I go flash forward to like later in my career, I made a song with this artist who now is an artist named Neo. And Neo wasn't an artist yet. He was a writer, and we wrote, at the time, the longest running number one song in the history of music. You Got Me, I mean, not You Got Me, Let Me Love You. You should let me love you. You know what I'm talking about?
Wasn't that Mario?
Yeah, Mario, but yeah. Neo wrote it. Oh. So just like the way that Mario's Jill Scott segued into becoming an artist, I was making that comparison, like,
yo, that's amazing.
I'll write big songs with people and then they become
big. But I get
big.
It, and they become massive. Didn't you do Beyonce's first album?
Yeah.
And you did 50 Cent?
A lot of 50 Cent.
A lot of 50.
Candy Shop, just a little bit.
Candy Shop was my favorite. Wasn't that one of the biggest tracks of all time?
Yeah, I mean, what I like to, you know, I don't commend myself very often, but one of the things I'm most proud of is that good music is timeless. And it's like, doesn't have an expiration date on it. It's forever. And very few songs today are forever.
Okay, wait. They're here. Let's go on the piano and play me one of your favorites.
One of my favorites?
Let's go.
Okay. Let's play this.
Yeah, I'll keep going.
So, if you want, yeah. Like, some of the best music that's been written without electricity. It's been somebody with a pad and pen and a piano or a guitar. And that's where it starts, that good melody. And that's what's lacking. People have too much technology now. And they just like take loops and shit and they start the wrong way. That's why I feel like all my songs and stuff like that is like forever. And it's like, that's one of the things I'm most proud of.
I mean, Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Like I was told by a lot that that's one of the most iconic piano riffs in the history of music
ever.
Spotify said it's the best hip-hop song ever in history, and that's this.
Well,
I'm proud to be the guy that came up with this.
You can literally hear the beat coming.
Thank you.
remember all of them.
No, I have a thousand songs, literally. Popping them things, candy shop.
What? You did it on the piano?
I write everything, and I put strings in. First Grammy is me and Joe.
Wow.
I'm trying to think. There's so many. Like, oh, I'm trying to think. But I'm still going. Oh. That's Eve and Gwen Stefani.
I know that.
Now, I'm going to tell you a crazy story. So Eve changed my life. Eve was like chicken Philly, like, you know, everybody knows her story. Like, well, she comes from the hoods, like from the streets. And she, like, the first time I ever went to L.A., I went to go, like, do an open mic, broke his shit, 3 months behind in rent in Philly. And I'm in L.A., I play in the Martini Lounge, and Eve was there, mysteriously, I was like, randomly, and she's like, Dr. Dre just signed me. I was like, get the fuck out of here, that's crazy. She later got moved to another label on that system, on Interscope, Rough Riders, with Swiss and DMX and these guys. But at that moment, she was like, yo, you're always my homie, like, you were good to me, I'm gonna fucking get you in with Dre. He doesn't like to see anybody. So. She kept her word. The next day, on my first trip in LA, I was about to go home. I was staying at the Roosevelt Hotel, but it was like, before they remodeled, it was like trash. Like, it was like some broke ass shit. If you were at the Roosevelt, now it's like fly, so it's hard to see. But, so I get the call, and I go down, and I'm like waiting in the lobby for like 4 hours, and like, you ain't gonna see me. And like, this is too good to be true. And, Dre comes in, I'm like, yo, bro, I didn't bring any like beats with me. I didn't know I was gonna meet you. So like, you know, at that time we had DAT tape. Wow. Like digital audio, remember them DATs? And like we had collections of DATs. I didn't have any beats. He's like, well, Eve said you're good on them keys. And I'm like, yeah. So I start playing some like, in my mind, like nothing I had ever played before, but I was like doing my best impression of like something like ominous, kind of like Scarface, like. And he was like, yo, bro. He's like, I want that on my album. Like, he's like, what are you doing for the next like year? I'm like, I'm fucking with you, dog. So like, I couldn't believe it, bro. Like this dude, like a couple of minutes later came in with a room for this, to me was some fly shit, was the La Montrose. You know, some like little boutique hotel. The key's like, you're gonna stay here. Here's some bread, like 10 racks and some shit. I was like, oh shit.
Wow.
I was like, I'm not going back.
And then he started writing.
I went back to my room. Huh?
No, I said, then he started writing.
Yeah, it was fucking dope. So now like my life has changed. Like within a couple of years, me and Dre literally set the world on fire. Wow. Within a year, we did. Together, like the first day I went into work and then we worked with, he's like, yo, I got this kid. He's like a real dope rapper. He's a white boy. And it was, his name's Marshall. It was Marshall Mathers. And like, we did the, his first song that came out, Just the Two of Us. Oh, you know that, Just the Two of Us. Where he's like, it was like his first release on Aftermath. And so I was like, yeah, I've been a part of like a lot of people's first songs. Like Chris Brown. We birthed him basically. Like, he came to my studio with Mark Pitch, the guy that signed Biggie, and Tina Davis,
They showed up at the Hit Factory. I was on fire. Like, it was literally like anything I put out would go to number one.
Wow.
Yeah, at that point. And like, I was really cocky. And like, he came to the studio, Chris. He was like 16. I was like, bro, you're a super cool kid. Like, I'm gonna make you a hit song today. We're gonna make a number one song. He's like, wow. I'm like, didn't lie to him. That day we made Run It.
No way, I remember that.
His first single. 6 months later, it was number one.
I remember when that came out. I remember thinking, he's like, Michael, reminding me of Michael Jackson. Wow.
And that's it, like, it was just on.
All right, back in for part two. Scotty, oh my God. As we go so deep into spirituality together, I feel like you are such an evolved human. Like, you're such a beautiful energy. But you've been through so much. How did you keep your determination? How did you keep your head above water when there were times when you felt like the world was trying to pull you down?
You know what? I've been on my own since I'm 15 years old. I've learned to endure. And like, I was thrown into a very tough world, and like, you get thick skin if you grow up in the street, and like you can't tell me I can't do something. Like, I'm gonna do that shit. I'm a determined person, and I just like, I've learned to deal with disappointment. I learned to deal with heartache. It's not like I'm blocking it or putting it like on the back burner. Mm-hmm. I just deal with it, and like, you know, having been through a moment in my life when I soared to the top and could look at 100 million in my bank and then like down to like zero because I was too busy like providing for others. I was throwing these like crazy parties, blowing money at everybody, but it was like almost doing it to like please everybody, right? And like just be generous and buy all my friends cars and just do dumb shit.
That's
and then like
wild.
When you lose everything and then you're like walking through a restaurant and like you hear, oh, that's the guy who lost his house. Whatever the fuck it is, you're just like, fuck it. Like, I did it. I left my mark already. Like, you're not gonna forget my music. Like, I already did it. And you know what? I made my shit back. So, and a lot more to come. Like,
right.
So now the same people that all ran away from me are like, oh, we knew you could do it. I'm like, you suck my dick. Like, for real. Like, a lot of people. So the people I keep around me, I have like only a few friends and like people that I trust and like care about me. Like my friend Enzo puts like daily affirmations in the morning on my phone, trying to help me like get control of my demons and be like a supporting person to me. And like, that's rare. You know what I mean? Like,
it takes a unique person. Like, such a unique
teaching
human.
Me about self-discipline, which
right.
is like something I haven't had.
Right.
And like, I'm trying to let that energy rub off on me. It's slowly but surely.
And it does, because when you do those affirmations, and it's so funny that he does that, I'm the exact same. I'm like that female that, like, I send those out to my tribe, my people, and I'm like, read this in the mirror. I love that you do that.
I read
that
them.
That is so powerful, because that is such a unique thing.
Like, he knows, like I don't know if he's like, hears anything, because we're neighbors, but like, he knows when I'm fucking up. Like, he just knows. Like,
that's
I can tell. And
amazing.
it'll reflect in whatever fucking he puts
in the
message.
Well, he's super psychic, so I feel like
yeah,
he's
I think
in
maybe
two,
he just,
he's in a whole other realm.
Yeah.
He's like, in a thing, so, well, he's going to come on in a minute anyway, but
yeah.
You know what? He's been on the show, though. Like, that's what's amazing. He's just, like, for y'all who are wondering, who we're talking about, Enzo, who was just on the show.
The wino.
Yeah.
He's, like, one of the people that, like, I admire. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
no, for sure. What do you do in your day-to-day for keeping yourself in, like, the most positive, radiant way when life is hard? Because life is hard. Life is not always butterflies and roses.
I always think that it can be worse. And that I can fix whatever the problem is, because I fix much worse shit than whatever that is, probably.
Wow.
And like, I'm hopeful, and you know, God is good to me, and it's always like, you know the expression, if there's a will, there's a way.
Right.
There's usually a fucking way, almost every time, but like, I get through when I've been in like really bad financial shit or mental shit or drug shit, like, I figure it out and I get through shit, and like, I think part of that is, I've never hurt anybody. I've made a lot of mistakes, but like, I've always been the kind of person that like, I have a good heart. I know I do. Even in relationships, like, I never like I care about other people's feelings. You know what I mean? Like, I don't look at myself as better than anybody in this world. Like, I'm equal to whoever, you know what I mean?
Like, what's the biggest lesson that you've learned from all of your highs and lows? Like, what's the biggest, realest lesson that you've learned?
So many. Drawing a blank on how to answer that. I guess if I had to answer that question, I would say, be careful who you're friends with, and like, know that other people's energies can like affect you like in like such a like huge way. So the people that you're around, I think, is like one of the most important things. Like, wow. The wrong people have led me down the worst path. Like, wow. there was a girlfriend I had, like, the world knows her, but like, I was such a nice guy, and like, I became like literally like a Hollywood douchebag for a while because I was so obsessed, like, all of a sudden with, like, fame is a drug. You know what I mean? Like, my music was famous, but I wasn't famous. And all of a sudden I have a girlfriend that's like the biggest thing in the world, and there's like paparazzis falling out of my trees and shit. And, like,
well, let's just get into this, because this is actually fucking insane. Like, you've dated two best friends. Like, I that's wild. You dated both Paris and Kim. Who was better in bed?
Who was better
in bed? Yeah.
I think the question, that the answer is obvious with that one.
I mean,
but, you know,
maybe to you, but who was it?
I guess I'm not, you know, disrespecting anybody anymore because it's not like with somebody, but like, Kim's definitely was the shit. Like, and she was like,
I love them both. Like, I just spoke on great. Stage like, in look, Paris as well.
Paris is hella cool, but like, being immersed into that lifestyle, like, and leaving Florida and like going to hang out in LA and the streets and learning that whole fucking Beverly Hills, like, snobbery shit, like, it's just not cool, like, a lot of those people. Like, I remember, like, watching somebody call somebody else, like, a peasant. Like, oh, you're a fucking peasant. I was just like, how you fucking do that? Like, just people are just like, I don't know. People aren't real. A lot of people aren't real, like, in that.
Well, you've been in that
socialite world. Yeah.
You've been in that world, like, and immersed in it. Like, you're a rock star, and you've been around some of the biggest rock stars. Wait, Lenny Kravitz, what's he like?
He's awesome.
Yeah.
We created a bunch of shit together.
He's someone like, I don't know. And
no,
never
I'm telling
fuck
you
with
this. Cool. Like, he's like an equipment nerd. Like, he showed up at the studio with a tractor trailer filled with vintage instruments and speakers and fucking organs and just crazy shit, and like, nobody does that. He goes to that level. Like, he's like really like dialed in with that shit.
It's just insane.
Yeah,
I love it. No, I respect him. Like, he's a fucking rock star.
Yeah,
he is like the definition
Zoe is
of
dope
rock
too,
star.
Like, she's awesome.
Oh yeah, yeah. Zoe as well. I well at first so I didn't actually like I'm okay so I'm British. Is he British?
Huh?
Lenny. No. So when I saw him on the red carpet with Zoe, I was like, oh my God, that's his wife. I didn't realize it's actually his daughter. She's so beautiful.
Yeah.
But there's me like just thinking that.
And
was
the mother
his
as
wife.
Well.
Yeah. They still together?
No.
He's single?
I don't know if he's single now, but I'm saying his mother.
I'm asking way too many questions.
From the Cosby Show.
How old is he?
I don't know. You really like this guy. I can reach him. I can reach out to him.
Yeah, no, for real. No, I really like him. I dated my baby daddy. Is like the younger version.
He likes American
women.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, only likes no, American women. Not
no,
a
you
bitch.
Know the song he made, Baby's American Woman.
And now he's gonna be. I only like Natasha. Baby's gonna switch his shit up. He's gonna be like foreign women.
I love how his first song that I heard. I was a kid. I was like, wow, this is cool. That Let Love Rule.
Oh,
that
yeah.
shit was cool as hell.
No,
I remember
his whole
opening that album.
Stuff.
I lit a joint and I was just vibing. It was so psychedelic.
Oh my God! Wait, have you heard the one that he just did, "Fly" with Quavo?
Yeah, I did.
Oh my, because that's
his song. Right? Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah,
I mean, it brought the melody back, which is cool.
He brought the melody back of his own track instead of having someone else mm-hmm. sample it. That was dope.
Yeah.
No, that was so fire.
I think him getting on the thing. And in the video and all that stuff is probably like an afterthought, but like somebody, like,
have you,
just to be honest.
What was the coolest track you feel like you've ever done? Like, you were the soundtrack of the 2000s. What do we even call that?
I'm still
era?
Rocking though. Like, people, I don't put my tag on everything. So there's a lot of big records
popping,
that go, yeah, I just don't draw that much attention.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. I never did, it's still art to me. Like, everybody's like, something on the track and this and that. Like,
do you know how I know it's art to you? Because you have your fucking cars in your living room as an art display. A. B. When I walk in for the first time ever meeting you, we were on the piano. Not in the show just now, like when we actually met. Like, we were on your piano and you were just playing.
That's who I am. I'm the piano man.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know why I got the name the piano man?
No.
There was a point, everybody has their highs and lows, and there was a point where I was winning, fucking like really winning, and on one end of the studio was me at the Hit Factory, and the other end was Timberland, and I had a fucking cheese line of people like lined up, all A-list, like literally waiting, like I would have like the biggest people like waiting for me, like to work, and I would keep almost all the rooms, but I would be at the on one end and Timberland was on the other end. And like, we're friends now, so we laugh about this story, but like,
who are you and Timbo?
Me and Timbo, yeah.
He's cool.
And like, he did a record at one point on one of his high moments where he dissed me. He called me the piano man. He's like, I'm a producer, you're just a piano man.
That was about you?
Yeah. So I embraced it and I said, you know what? I am the fucking piano man.
You got it tatted on you.
Yeah.
I love diss tracks. What's your favorite diss track of all time?
Ether.
Fucking amazing. Look, Kendrick went so good on, I think Kendrick is like.
I love Kendrick, but I ain't gonna front, man. Drake to me is the shit. Like, he's just like.
They're both.
He's just
lyrical
fucking.
Geniuses.
I love his music. Like, there's some shit. Like, he has real classics now, real joints. So many of them.
He's such a legend artist. I feel like
his catalog
is so good.
Fucking crazy. Look, swimming pools, all this shit. Kendrick is dope. He's an artist. He's like original and he's got his thing. But, you know, they're both great. But so it's hard to me like choose a side with that shit.
What about Ye? What do you make of Ye? I know this is a crazy topic.
All right.
This is like, get fucking coffee out at this point. We know this is going to get juicy.
Yo.
Okay, come on.
On some real shit, I'll go back to the beginning before he and I were pals.
Are you friends now?
Our management, I'll get to that later. Our management, his and mine, had a beat battle back in the day. And I fucking, apparently they said I killed it in New York, where like they were going beat for beat, kind of like verses,
right.
Like, but like just privately in a room. And like, apparently I slayed him at that time. But no, he's really dope. He comes to me like from the Just Blazes and Binks of the world, like that sound, that New York fucking, a lot of samples and shit. Super creative, amazing guy in terms of being an artist and being like edgy and, you know, super talented, spits flames, makes fucking incredible music. But he hurt me, man. Like, I'm Jewish, right? I'm not like a Jew, like kind of religious like guy. I eat bacon and shit, but like I have Jewish blood. And when you talk about, like, can you imagine me be like glorifying like slavery or some fucked up shit? Like this dude's like glorifying a dude who burnt millions of people in a fucking gas chamber, man. Like, and you're doing that and standing behind it, apologizing and then coming back and going worse. I sent a message to one of the people with Good Music, one of my boys, Cheo, and I told him, yo, tell him you lost a friend and he hurt me really bad. Like, that shit's fucked up, bro. Like, honestly, like, it's disrespectful. Like, I get that he likes to be controversial and edgy, but that's foul as shit, man. He can suck my dick with that shit.
Fucking foul. That was
like,
so
I'll
foul.
I'll fuck him up if I see him.
I know. Honestly. My mom's Jewish, so it really hit. I was
like,
that's disgusting.
I fucked your bitch before you, motherfucker. Sorry.
Yeah. That shit was crazy.
Yeah, you can kiss my ass for that. I was like, I threw out my Yeezys, man. Like, I felt like, what the fuck, man? I was like one of my like heroes musically and a friend. Like, I don't know if you realize the damage you do when you like take a whole bunch of people, like a whole like race or something, like just put it in a box. Like,
no, that's crazy.
Like, are you talking about Israelis? Are you talking about American people, Russians, or whatever the fuck?
No, I know.
Jews, like.
That's crazy.
Black Jews, that's foul, bro.
Yeah, that was bad.
Okay, what you don't even know what the fuck he's talking about.
What about Diddy? What do you make of that? Like, you knew him.
Yeah, we was homies. We still, like, know each other. Like, but I'm going to just say it like this. You know, I know I'm going to get beat up either way I go on the motherfucking my answer for this. I still got my Diddy pictures up on my gram. I ain't take shit down. It's fucked up. You don't put your hands on a woman. In my entire life, I've never put my hands on a woman.
Good.
That shit's fucked up. But what he's going through ain't about that. That was a low moment for him where he was fucking probably whacked out. Like if you do too much drugs, like whatever it is, like 2C, coke, some whatever, and you're jacked up, you go into a rage moment where you, like I found myself, where I never touched a woman, but like I could have, like I felt like so jacked up on drugs at like one time that like I felt like I was like pissed off, like or lack of sleep, and you just start fucking being weird. Like it could have been one of those situations, but like truly in his heart, I don't see him as a violent person. But the shit, like you go up against the liquor industry, tobacco industry, firearms, oil. There's gonna be some fucked up shit that's gonna happen to you, man. You don't even try that. And he tried to like, I guess, you know, eliminate his partnership with Diageo for Ciroc and like go on his own, and them motherfuckers don't play. And like, this is a complete smear campaign. And like, they just like sex trafficking. All right, let's define, what is sex trafficking? You selling pussy or you buying it? All right? Like to me, like this motherfucker ain't selling no pussy. He ain't no pimp. That's not Gator. That's not motherfucking Bishop Don Juan. That's Diddy putting a broad on a motherfucking G4 with caviar and shit because he want a hit and probably lacing them. Whatever the fucking case is, he's a grown ass man. He was doing his thing. Everybody guilty of some shit like that. I'm talking about fucking everybody. So you're just gonna like magnetize, like, you know, just put like this whole thing on it, like he's sex trafficking. Nah, that's not it. Rico? Who's he Rico'd with? Nobody. One person Rico? What the fuck is that? So he don't deserve the crime, the punishment don't like fit the crime to me. Now, if I find out the motherfucker like did some shit with like an underage kid or some shit like that, my pictures is down. Like you don't know me. Like I mean, like fuck that. You know, like I know we all know about Diddy and like his thing. Like I've never said this before on camera, so you're getting it first. But like the motherfucker tried to come on to me one time, and I was like, I don't go that way. Was it like a party?
You're his type?
I don't fucking know. I mean, a fucking fat Jew. I don't know.
I was gonna say, I'm like,
whatever. Like, I mean, the Molly was strong back in the day.
But I thought Cassie was his type. But
I mean, whatever.
From Cassie to you,
I was just like, bro, I don't get down like that. And
bro,
we was cool.
Different.
And we shook hands. And it was just like, it was cool. But like, he was my pal and like my friend. Like, and like, that didn't bother. Like, I don't think that's like a horrible thing. Like, I'm not homophobic. Like, but I'm just like, yo, you know, you like balls, I like pussy. Like, I don't know, whatever. I don't like, I'm just not.
We just like slightly different features in the genital area.
I'll say some shit that everybody's too scared to say, so whatever. I know I'm gonna get some backlash for this, but I don't really give a fuck. I stand behind my shit, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not, like, afraid to say what the fuck that I've done. Like, I've snorted a Somalian village of cocaine, like, honestly, like, in my life. I am not, like, gonna, like, pretend to be something I'm not.
Yeah.
But I'm still sharp as a motherfucking whip, and like.
But you are, and I like your honesty about it. Yeah. I love the way that you like, you know, you come out about it.
My mistakes are like, to me, like badges of honor. Like I had to earn, like go through different struggles and different things. It's like the guy who walks in the bar like with a scar on his face. You're like, how the fuck you get that? Like that's what it is, man. Like it's real shit. It's rock and roll shit.
I love that. You're such a fucking rock and roller. Like, for real. Like, you literally live it.
I'm the
like,
new Steven Tyler.
Who's that?
The lead singer from Aerosmith.
Oh, Aerosmith! Was he with Lenny Kravitz?
Of course. So, should I Instagram him or try and call him for you? Yo, him, I got my smokes.
Does someone have your phone as well so you can call Lenny Kravitz? No, because he's
like
just like, I really like it. He's like double my age. It just works. Like, I just love that shit.
How old are you? I'm not quite double your age. I'm almost double.
Are you? No, I love it. Either like, I'll be like 10 years younger than me or like 30 years older. Mm-hmm. Nothing in between. Just like you're, you know, like a few years younger than me or like way older than me. Yeah. I like that.
You know what? Another thing that is like.
That's actually crazy. My first husband was 25 years older than me and my second one was 5 years younger than me.
I was married for one day and got annulled the next day.
Babe, you did?
Yeah.
Oh my God, you give me hope.
Yeah.
This is so great. How many times have you been married? How many times have you been married?
That was it.
Oh, that was it?
Yeah, that was it.
Oh, you give me no hope.
Yeah, I got 13 baby mamas. No, I'm just kidding.
No, but yo, I have two baby daddies. I nicknamed myself Baby Mama. I'm having another one at some point.
I love it.
No, I own it. Like, I absolutely own it.
Every man I meet. Me would look like me. My sperm wins every time.
Does it really?
Yeah.
No, I literally get pregnant on day one. Every man I meet wants to have a baby with me. Why?
It's fun making them.
I know, it's really fun making them. No, but I feel like they literally want to marry me and have a baby with me. Every guy, they're like, I want to impregnate you. And I'm like, why? And then they kind of just like.
You gotta like.
Either they attempt to or it happens.
I think that's they're trying to like, I don't know, get you excited with that.
Okay, wait, we gotta talk more about the Diddy shit because that's fucking mental. So
Diddy did nothing but provide fun and entertainment for others that would, all the people that talking shit was, let me get in the fucking New Year's party or the Halloween, like they all wanted it. Like.
So what was it like in the house? Like, did you stay for the party?
No, I had much cooler parties. But no, everybody was like in the same room in my house. It was like I had 17 bedrooms, so like literally. And I was right down the
front. So it was like.
I would go to my house. I didn't have a freak off. I just like.
I love how they call it a freak off. Is that an American term?
I don't know. Like, I'm not into fucking swinger shit. I'm not into orgies. The only dick in the room. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. You sound like my ex-husband. He was like really like that. Like, I'm the only dick in the room. I was like, ugh.
I'll take six titties.
I wouldn't do two at once. Like, I would only ever have one man at a time. But like, I like women. I think women are fun.
I had a girlfriend at one point and her favorite movie was Savages. I don't know if you know that movie, but it's about this girl who's like selling weed and she's got two dudes and like, that shit was, I was like, something's up with that. Like she was just, that was her favorite movie. I'm like, you trying to tell me something? Like,
shit. Wait, was that a porn movie?
No.
Oh.
No, it's a regular movie, but she just loved it. She loves weed dealers, drug dealers. And like. And
she likes trapping.
Yeah, she likes but she had like two guys. I was like, in the movie. I was like, you watching this motherfucker every day, like.
Can I just say, it must be a put off. Like, if I was to be in a Diddy party and I saw two men, like, on the same women, like, it's just not it for me.
What, doing the Eiffel Tower or something like that?
None That's of just nasty. Fucking, none of it's it for me. Like, nothing to do with that stuff. Like, I just don't even understand. I'm, like, so disgusted.
And, like, these dudes that are, like, supposedly cuck, I guess is the, expression, like a guy that likes to watch his girl get tore up. I'll beat a motherfucker up. He ain't fucking my girl. Like, fuck that.
No. And I wouldn't want another man to watch me fuck someone else.
I'm like, super old fashioned with that shit.
That is not it. That's some
mine.
People. That's actually a fetish. You know that?
Yeah, I know. Like, I don't know where that comes from. Like, what side of like a person like would like that?
Oh,
like,
it's because they are either super powerful and want to feel small. Or they're like super weak in their life and need to feel like a real pussy.
That's literally, I guess, a lot of people, because that's like a category on the fucking porn shit. Like, on every fucking porn site, like, people are into that shit. Like, hell no.
No, it's actually a thing. Okay, wait. Off this topic and onto another one. What are you passionate about right now? You're doing so much amazing stuff in the world. You have like a whole new venture. Doing a movie with one of the biggest producers of all time.
Yeah.
Congrats.
I'm not gonna say, but like he made some of the biggest movies ever.
Yeah.
And it's 3 years in the making. We just attached a really, really big director. Like that currently is like one of the hottest in the game right now. And for those that don't know me or like what I've been through, the ups and the downs, it's exciting movie. It's like the Wolf of Wall Street meets music, like, and like a bunch of like star girlfriends, and you know, like I was a bit of a tramp back in the day. Like I was like, I apparently, Fat Joe did an interview where he said that I have the world record for fucking star girls. And like, that was like.
And you lived on Star Island?
I was on Palm Island next door.
Oh, at 17.
Like Diddy was at, no, I was way later.
Uh-huh.
No, 17, no, I was struggling. With
those. Was that still those years?
Yeah, I was like there, and then Paris showed up. I was like literally like on fire, very disciplined, like my boy Enzo, I always say, and like was working. I had every car you could possibly imagine, and they went from my house to the studio and home, and that was it. My boys would go before the club and after the club, and like, I would be like, yo, how was the club? I was like super like, not a nerd, but like, I think I was had a little social anxiety to go to clubs and what to do, like, cause I never did it. Like, it was always music. And then Paris showed up at my doorstep to make music with me, and we ended up getting together, and I would say we both used each other. Like, she wanted a guy who was legit in music, and I was the number one producer in the United States, or maybe the world. And she was like the number one, like, socialite, like, you know, paparazzi, like Us Weekly, all that type shit. And like, I wanted that. For some reason, I was like, out of nowhere, just like, you know, I was like a brain fart. Like all of a sudden, I just wanted to be like cool.
A brain
and,
fart.
And like, I fed off that negative energy of like, whatever. And like, I was introduced to a world that I never, I smoked weed up until the point I met her. But when I got with those, all those people, like, it was like cocaine and like, party and like, let's go. And like, that shit derailed me. I stopped working. I had all this money. I was like, fuck working. Like, I got my feelings hurt too. Like, I remember taking Paris to the Grammys, and like, my biggest life goals was to get producer of the year. I guess it's like, I don't know, it was something that happened. Like, I went to the Grammys in 2005. I think it was, yeah, five. And Dr. Dre got producer of the year. And at that point, I was like, I think I'm gonna move home to Miami, because he built his empire, okay? But I felt like I won that award tonight, that night too, because it was like a lot of the music that we did together, like we were like kind of like partners. And like, you know, it was like Dre and then Scott Storch. Like, so I was like, fuck it, I'm not gonna compete. I'm going home to Florida. I haven't been to Florida since before Philly. And like, I blew up. Now I'm coming back to my hometown. I'm rich as fuck, but I wanna like now make a name for myself, this, that, the other. So I'm like now like, I'm on a quest in Florida to get the producer of the year award. And I did that year when I moved to Florida, 81 singles. I had 32 weeks at number one with a bunch of songs I did like out of the year. It was 52 weeks.
That's fucking nuts. That's like
the number
one
and the number two song at the same time. I still got the Billboard from it. I had Candy Shop and Let Me Love You, one and two, and then they flip flop. I pretty much had the longest running number one song at that point in history.
Wow.
And I went to the fucking Grammys. I remember I'm sitting with Marilyn Manson and I'm sitting with Paris, and like she was my date that night, and like, I didn't win, and it fucking freaked me out. Somebody that had like two records out that year, the guy from the Gorillaz, he won the producer of the year, because he was basically sucking the dick of the Grammy Association called NARIS, the National Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences. And he was like doing their panels and he was their poster child that year. I was busy making shit, like getting my fucking hands dirty, rolling up my sleeves and going in, working 24 fucking hours a day. So I went off the deep end. I was like, fuck music. I was like, let's go party. And I was like,
you went off.
I went off, yeah. I was like in the fucking desert, like tripping on acid with spider monkeys and shit. Like, I don't know what the fuck.
The fuck is a spider monkey?
I don't know. I'm just saying, like, I don't know what the fuck.
I guess you went off
and like was just spending like a million a month to have fun, like, and just going crazy. Yachts, planes, all over, traveling, jet setting with Paris, Brazil, here, there, and anywhere. And like, I was using a plane like a fucking taxi cab. Like, let's go have fucking lunch in Paris. Like, let's go
just do whatever the fuck I wanted to do.
This is crazy.
And like, I thought that I had an extra zero in there, like I had 100 million, but I thought it was a billion. I didn't realize that shit run out real fast.
I just can't believe the pace you went through 100 mil, but it's easy when you have jets involved.
Jets and yachts. And
jets internationally.
But some people had a collection of certain things. Like, I had a collection of everything. I'm talking about jewelry, cars, like 30 cars. I had a crystal figurine collection that was worth like $2 million. Like, Yadros and Lalique's and fucking Swarovski, like, sculptures. And I was into all kinds of shit. Clothes. Like, I just loved collecting shit. But, like, whatever. That's not it. Look, I could have bought all of the shit that I did and lived the life I was living that extravagantly. All I had to do was just keep working. But I was so mad at music. But I had to go through a lot to get that passion back. I have it again. And part of it is because I have a son that is into music. And I want him to win. So it's like...
You're doing it for him.
Yeah, we're doing it. Yeah, we're doing it and having some success. But there's so many other ventures and things. Like, you do the same thing for so long, like, you kind of want to like do other shit too. So I built a certain amount of notoriety that enables me to get into certain deals. And one of them, I kind of was catapulted in by my boy, the Powerballer, MJ.
And that is the Law of Attraction Secrets, people. Thank you so much for tuning in. Scott, you are incredible. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
And boys, thank you for being adjacent to him in this finale clip. Thank you. And if you've enjoyed today, send it to somebody you know who is going to enjoy today's episode. I'm Natasha Graziano, and this is the Law of Attraction Secrets. See you next time.
Sheesh.